Welcome to the monthly podcast exclusively for Somerset Football Association referees.
Watch the referees now.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Levitt.
Hello again and welcome to the Referees World podcast. My name's Darren Daly. I'm a level 5 referee and this is Somerset FA's county training officer, Richard Mellon.
Hi, Darren.
Referees World. News update.
So, Rich, first of all, in the headlines, let's talk about the National Referee Development Programme.
Yep, the National Referee Development Plan has been launched this week. Head of refereeing in this particular section is Ian Blanchard, and the FA's vision is to be the world leader in providing referees with support and development to maximise potential enjoyment when we're officiating as referees.
Can you expand a bit more on the whole support of referees? Because I know, for instance, one referee in particular who's had a lot of grief over the last few weeks, I'm talking about Mark Clattenburg, has... In some areas of the media, they've suggested that there is no support.
The media, unfortunately, are wrong in that case. Every referee, wherever he referees, or she, whether at the top end, the PGMO, or at grassroots, will get support. The support is discreet. It's not washed in public. So Mark would have been counselled by his coaches, by Mike Riley, led by Mike Riley in particular, from the PGMO. So Mark would have had every piece of support that was possible just to get him through the situation, but unfortunately the media at the moment seem to enjoy ridiculing match officials, and a match official can make up to 400 decisions a match, and he'll be remembered for just one, which nobody liked.
Okay, let's talk plum appointments. What exactly are plum appointments?
Plum appointments.
And where does the name plum appointments come from?
I never invented it, but I've inherited it like a lot of other people. Plum appointments, they are about at this time of the season, from February onwards. You're looking at later rounds of the cup final, cup competitions. And as opposed to early parts of the season, the early rounds of the cups, you don't know who's going to be doing what as regards will they go through to the towards the final. When teams play in the early rounds of the league or the early matches in the league, will they be challenging for the trophy? Will they be looking for thinking about relegation? So plum appointments are created later in the season, when teams are really up for it and really going for it, as opposed to the early part of the season. And at this stage of the season, when you get a plum appointment, that's because you're pretty well having a good season, and it's recognised by the appropriate matches that you get. Can I announce them now, or should we do it later?
I think we should do it later. Keep people hanging on to listen for longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that idea.
Don't mind that.
Right, a strong message from the CTO, which is the county training officer. So that'll be you then.
That's me. I'm the county training officer, CTO acronym. Let me say I'm disappointed with some of my colleagues. Those colleagues that choose to go to football matches and criticise those colleagues that are out there working their socks off. It's not acceptable to do it as regards going to criticise your colleagues. And let me explain why. I recently went to a game. I won't name the clubs and I won't name the referee for obvious reasons. But the referee gives a penalty and correctly gives the penalty decision. It's handball well inside the penalty area. The referee correctly gives a penalty. And a person stood about 3 metres from me, lets the referee know in no uncertain terms that it was a poor decision. He uses offensive language and tells the referee that it was wrong. I look around at this person and say, well, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. He thinks I'm an assessor. And he makes certain comments, well, you're going to be assessing that, so what do you think? I said to him, well, I think the referee's correct, and the interpretation of handball was absolutely right. And he said, well, I'm not. But he said, I don't think it's right. He said, and I'm a level 5 referee.
Oh.
It was the worst thing, the wrong thing to have said to me, when I'm a level 5 referee and I don't think it's a penalty. So if you want to disagree with the decision, that's understandable, because we will have an interpretation that might be different. But the manner in which you express yourself is what's not acceptable in this case. From the halfway line, where the spectator was stood, he shouted at the referee using offensive language and told him he was wrong. I have to say that if I hear my colleagues doing that, I will report them to the County Referees Committee and action will be taken. I also ask other colleagues, if you hear of it, bring it to my attention and we'll stop it as soon as we possibly can. It's just not acceptable.
So there's your warning. Don't do it. Right, Rich, you've got some results from a grassroots national survey. Tell us more about this.
I don't actually have results, other than to say that at the moment there is a survey that's accessible on the county website. That's somersetfa.com. Look for the grassroots survey. and we're asking all our referees to get involved and make a contribution. The survey will take you about 10-12 minutes to complete. It's all areas of football. It's all areas involving grassroots football. Those of you who can remember, we did a similar survey 4 years ago. So all those things that we've done in that first survey and we've worked on now during this period of time, coming to the end in 2012, the next period of 4 years is about to begin. So, you know, this is why the survey's there, and we'd ask our colleagues to do the survey. That's my mobile.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. Don't forget, you can email us, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. So, still to come, we have a match incident coming up from our guest speaker, who was one of the officials on the Carling Cup final. And it was a good final this time round, wasn't it?
It was a good final. I was there and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was good.
Of course, you're a gooner, aren't you?
I'm known as one of them.
And at this point, I feel it's only fair that I should name and shame somebody.
Who would you like to name and shame this month?
Me.
Okay. I can guess what you've done here. I just got to guess what you've done. You took on one of my tips, didn't you? And
yeah,
it's still not working for you.
I know.
Okay, explain yourself, Dan.
Right. A couple of months ago, Rich's tip of the month was put your yellow card in your left pocket and your red card in your red pocket.
Left on the field of play. Right is removed from the field of play.
Now, I've been trying this tactic because I, for years, have had my cards in my notebook in my pocket. Sort of my breast pocket. What I've done in the past is the first game Rich comes to see me, instead of showing a yellow card, I get the red card out by mistake. We got around that. I did it again. The game was Bridgwater Town Reserves against Mangotsfield United Reserves. I had to ask one of the players to leave the field of play because he didn't have the correct coloured undershorts on. He responded in a dissentful manner. I went to show him a yellow card, and it was the red card that came out. So everybody around thought, my God, you can't send somebody off just for wearing the wrong coloured shorts, surely.
I want to ask a couple of questions then. How did the player actually get onto the field of play wearing the wrong colour undergarment?
I checked both teams prior to them going out. They'd obviously caught me by tucking them in at the top. And his undershorts had rolled down during the game. As soon as I noticed them, we were only about 8 minutes into the game. And that's when I dealt with it.
Okay, I can't ask you to ask him to tuck them in.
See, this
all the
is
time.
A bone of contention, okay? And I've had this a few times this season where.
Okay, let me say then, why did you caution him?
I cautioned him for the descent.
Oh, for the descent?
Yeah, I cautioned him for the descent.
Okay.
See, this is the thing, see, it's when you ask somebody to leave the field of play for something which can be described as pedantic.
Let me just clarify, what level were you refereeing at?
County Premier.
County Premier Division. So it's not. The lowest?
No.
In the pyramid, is it?
No.
It's not exactly Division 6 of the Bridgwater and District Sunday League.
No.
So, you know, this is a respectable level of football, and these are reserve teams of senior teams, so they should know better.
Yeah. So am I being pedantic by applying this law and you know, when a ball goes out of play, asking them to leave, to get the shorts changed, etc.?
I won't use the word pedantic, but you're being technical. You are being technically correct in law. How obvious were the wrong colour shorts below the short line?
Very obvious. They were just above the top of his knees, and the shorts were yellow, and his shorts were yellow, and the undershorts were like a grey faded blue colour.
Okay. Could you have used the captain rather than make an approach?
Yeah, I could have done. I suppose.
Would that have avoided the descent?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a little bit of learning here, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a rather than go to the player who may be a little bit upset about your approach, could you use the captain? Captain, I need your help here.
Yeah.
Come across, this player's wearing the wrong colour shorts, maybe you can help it that way. And then you'd avoid the sanction as well.
This is Referees World.
Right, still to come, we have some plum appointments to discuss. But first, let's introduce this month's guest speaker, one of the officials from the Carling Cup final. This time around, let's welcome to the show, Ron Ganfield.
Hello, Darren. Hello, Rich.
Before we start, you've actually been on the show before. Are you wearing stilettos at this point or no?
No, I'm not allowed to wear them anymore. The wife won't let me.
Listen, Ron, first of all, congratulations on the appointment. I know it's been and gone now, but can we talk about this from literally the moment you received the nod that you were going? Tell us about that moment for you.
Well, yeah, it was amazing, really, because I got a phone call off my coach, Paul Roger, on a Monday just to say I've got some good news for you. And it just told me that I was I'd been appointed to the Carling Cup final, and I just couldn't believe it. I just said, you obviously haven't, like you do, people like to wind me up like they do on a regular basis. So I just said, no, you're having a laugh. And he went, no, you've got the appointment. And then it sunk in, and then off we went, really. That was it. I accepted it. Obviously, I accepted it. I didn't get to knock that back, am I? No, I'm too busy.
Sorry, I've got to go to the mother-in-law's for dinner that day.
Yeah, I'm dressing up, sorry.
Do you know what? I had this, when I found out it was you, the instant reaction that I had was a picture of you running down the line with a flag and a pair of stilettos that kept sinking into the grass.
Well, I'd probably been better off with a pair of stilettos. I might have got it right.
Hey, we'll move on to decisions shortly, but tell us a bit about the family involvement.
What happened with that is you go up with the wife on the Saturday. So we travelled up on the Saturday. We stayed in Hendon Hall. So we got there for 11 o'clock, met up with all the other officials and their wives. And then on that Saturday, we went to London, Wembley, and had a wander around Wembley Stadium.
So it was empty at the time then, Ronnie?
It was empty at the time. It was amazing because, you know, you're in Wembley Stadium having a look around. The pitch was not even marked out at all. Nothing was on there. He had all the groundsman had stringed, ready to do the marking. And it was completely empty. But we had a wander around the changing rooms and just got a feel of it. And
how were you feeling at that point?
I was quite relaxed. It wasn't my first visit, so it wasn't too bad. So it was okay. The whole occasion, it was great because David Allison from the Football League made us feel very, very relaxed, him and his partner Sheila. They were fantastic with us, so we just felt relaxed. And Mike Dean, you know, he is so down to earth and a quality match official. You just felt part of the team, so we just wandered around as if it was a day out.
Yeah, absolutely. I recall my visit to Wembley as a, what can I say, I was an invited guest to tour the stadium, and although it was empty, I was like a little kid walking around it, Ganny, you know. It's one of those dreams that you wait for, you know.
It is, it's brilliant, because I'm a football fan, and I've watched many cup finals, you know, whatever team's been now. I've gone to cup finals, Carling Cup finals, FA Cup finals, I've watched England there. You know, I've seen so many games, even at the old Wembley. I was at the last game that England played at the old Wembley. So actually walk out on a big occasion was immense. So
let me say, from the county's perspective, Ganny, when I saw it as a PGM assessor that the appointments had been made, I looked at the appointments and I saw Ronnie Ganfield on there. I was as excited for you as I think I could be for myself. I mean, you know, it's beyond my dreams now to be able to go there as an official, but to have one of my colleagues and friends go there, we were so excited and so proud of you.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I've had so many people, you know, come up to me and, you know, say congratulations. And I'd say this to my colleagues, that I've tried to support all my colleagues, all through, you know, and I try to help people and support them. And you get your rewards in the end, because I think people respect that.
Yeah.
And they want you to do well. They wish you well.
We're going to cover an area in the game later, Ronnie, in discussion. But the refereeing football family is very strong, isn't it, when support is there?
Yeah, it is very, very strong, and that's why I always say to our colleagues coming up through, always support your colleagues. You know, never knock them, because that could be you, and then people, you're always going to get it when you get the knocks, because people want to knock you because they look you as you're always knocking someone. So when someone has a bit of a bad time, you need to be there to support them.
What did you do in the evening?
After we come back from Wembley, we just had time to ourselves, really. Cause it was just chilling out time.
Do your nails.
Yeah, I've done my nails, I've done my hair.
I
obviously robbed the wife's wardrobe.
Bikini line.
Everything. Yeah, so we got back, obviously the hotel chilled out, and we went down for the evening meal around about 7 o'clock, half past 7.
Danny, just for the record, it was the night before a major cup final on the Sunday. Did you watch Match of the Day on Saturday?
No, I never.
Did any of the match officials watch Match of the Day previously?
I think a couple of them might have done, but I didn't watch Match of the Day. No, I just, because we were downstairs till about half past 10. I think I got to bed about 11 o'clock. You know, no drink. I don't drink, as you know.
Did you sleep the night before?
I was going to say, did you manage to get any sleep?
Yes, I did. To be honest, this is an amazing thing. It was so laid back and so relaxed time that I just didn't even think about it. I slept very well.
Does it seem a bit surreal at that point then? Because it's so relaxed when you know you've got a game ahead of you where pretty much people all over the world are going to be watching and you're just chilled out and relaxed.
Yeah, it did. To be honest, it did. It seemed... I didn't feel any pressure that time. I didn't feel that there was a... You know, I was ready to go to a game. It was... I just think it was because we had a good atmosphere, we had a good team.
But that's the professional element of refereeing, isn't it, Ronnie?
Yes, yeah, it is. There was no edge to the day at all, and then we was meeting to go at 1 o'clock. We got to the stadium, we came down with the wives, because the wives were coming with us then, obviously, they were following in the other people carrier.
Yeah.
We then just come down, meet in the foyer, and then we just get bussed into Wembley. And then it starts, that was the most amazing part of it, is because I've driven to Wembley so many times and parked my car in the area, it's around there, and paid the £20 to be parked, you know what I mean? You pay your £20.
You've been clamped as well.
Yeah, you pay your £20 to be locked, to be, you think you're going to be looked after, but as soon as your car, you left your car, the bloke runs off,
that's
doesn't
it,
he?
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's really looking after your car, he's pocketed the money and off he goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm driving past all these places and... I'm one of them spectators normally.
Yeah.
It's funny to then we get to the gate and then we get let in. Then we're going into the ground, taking our bags, get into the change rooms, and then it starts to start to sink in as the game on. But we're all still relaxed.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Would
well
you say that you were more relaxed before the Carling Cup final than perhaps a game on the Premier League, which you do quite regularly?
Without a shadow of a doubt. And that is what I find really strange.
Can you put it down to anything? Is it because you didn't have to travel to the match on the day?
I'm wondering if it's the fact there was no pressure. I think most of us thrive on pressure, even though we don't realise it. Every game, there's an assessor at every game, right, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is pressure because you know there's an assessor there watching you, so you don't want to put a foot wrong. There was no assessor on the Carling Cup final.
Well, you say there was no assessor on the final. There was 90,000 in the stadium assessing. And millions on TV, Ronnie. So
yeah.
I know what you're saying about the official assessor, though.
Well, it's one of them. It's hard to put your finger on it, and that's the only thing I can say that's different. That was different. It was a massive game. Obviously, we know it was, but the only difference between that and a Premier League game, there was no assessor there.
Let's get on to the match then, Ronnie. What about the pre-match instruction? Was that any different? Was it evident, Mike?
No, and the thing is with Mike Dean, because the last 2 weeks, obviously, I've been working with Mike Dean.
Yeah.
I was with him at Fulham and Chelsea, and then at the local derby between West Brom and Wolves, and they went really well.
Yeah. Dino's an outstanding referee, I think.
Oh, he was absolutely brilliant. He's an outstanding, person as well. It was, I think that's what helped, his refereeing ability and his man management and the way he deals with all the other officials and gets them on board.
What about the field of play? Let's get out there. Let's talk about working on the green stuff now. What was the general match mood from the match officials' point of view?
Well, it was all fine, all looking forward to it, all buzzing. Couldn't wait to get out there, and when we got out, obviously in the tunnel, we're ready to go out. We're just ready, all switched on, ready to go.
Let's go straight to the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Talk about the first 2 minutes, Ronnie.
Right, the first 2 minutes, I've already given my first decision. I give a throw in, which you like to get your first decision out of the way, so I'm already in. And then the decision for the offside. What the problem I got with it is, as soon as I've done it, I knew straight away that I got it wrong. I've looked across and I haven't looked at it again. I won't look at it because I know I got it wrong. The only time I ever look at anything, if I can learn from it. And I can't learn from that because it's a bad decision, so I've accepted it and moved on. But the problem I think I've been told is I was ahead of play, so when I look across, I've got a blue shirt when I shouldn't really have a blue shirt. Do you see what I mean? If I'm in line, I wouldn't have seen the blue shirt.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I
don't know why I've got ahead of play. Mm. Even saying that, right, I should have still got it right. And what I've done is I've put the flag up, and as I put it up, I just said, yeah, he's offside. And then the worst case scenario, he goes into the box and he gets brought down. But as soon as I put the flag up and made my decision, my gut feeling tells me straight away, when you've been doing it a long time and you've been making decisions like that week in, week out, you get a rough idea. If you think, you're thinking, yeah, I'm happy with that. I wasn't happy with that at all.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel at that point, and knowing that you were only 2 minutes into the game?
It made me feel really, really bad. And then to focus, I had to switch on, focus straight away, and then I'm thinking to myself, I cannot get another one wrong.
What's your particular method, Gani? I think all referees have got a different way of refocusing. But what I want to get the message across to our colleagues is not to think about the last decision, but to be ready for the next decision.
Yeah.
How do you go about your process?
Well, what I do is I think I might be a little bit different to other people, because what makes me keep going is thinking about that decision I just made, which is strange and not a lot of people can understand. I keep that as my focus, because I don't want to now, because I know I've got one wrong, I don't want another one wrong.
Yeah, but I think what the message is here, Ronnie, is we've all got a different way of doing it, but what we can't do is keep thinking about it, because it could be a distraction when you've got to make an equally important decision, isn't it?
Yeah, what you've got to do, if you're gonna think about it, it's got to be in a positive way.
I mean, the ironic thing is, Ronnie, I mean, okay, the offside decision is wrong. You know that. You've acknowledged that. Everybody saw it. But the important thing is that you were trying to make sure that you were positively ready for the next decision, which could be as simple as a throw-in, but the throw-in going the wrong way could lead to a tactical setup and lead to a goal, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's right, it could. So the idea is that you need to be, like we said before, you've got to be switched on for your next decision, however you know, small you might think that is, like a throw in the wrong way, like a goal kick, like a foul on the halfway line.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be anything, but that next decision is crucial, and then you've got to move on from that one to the next one, to the next one. And the hardest ones, really, because it's an offside one, are all the offsides after that.
Yeah, you live and die on offside, don't you, as an assistant?
Yeah, you do. Mm. And then, obviously, we've come to... It was annoying, really, because Birmingham obviously went 1-0 up, and they could have went 2-0 up.
Yeah.
Because he's missed an ideal opportunity. You know, what I don't want to be is I don't want to be the cause of someone losing a big game. Don't forget, during that first half, nobody has mentioned anything to me. They didn't contest it, nothing. The only time that I got clarification, which I knew I was wrong, is when I'd come off at half time.
And someone's waiting for you in the tunnel.
Yeah, Alex McLeish is in a tunnel, which was a shock to everybody, apart from the people that are in the tunnel. He's come up to me and he's going, "How are you getting that wrong?" And I looked at him and I thought, he's right. And I can't blame him. I think we've got to be honest with ourselves, and we've got to put our hand up. We like to take the plaudits when we get it right.
Of course.
You know, but if you've got a big game like that and you're getting it wrong, you don't want to be... You know, he's got every right to have a go at me, I feel. So I already was telling myself, you know, move on, get on with it.
Strength of character now is coming into play, isn't it?
Yeah. You've got to move on, and for your own, for the sake of the game as well. I couldn't afford to make another mistake, because don't forget now I had Birmingham's back four.
Mm. Yeah,
I had Arsenal's forwards. Now the last thing I need to do is get another one wrong for Arsenal to score.
Yeah,
and my career is going to be down the pan. So.
Yeah,
it was one of them where you had to be even more focused. But it was a strange situation, because I've come out, I've checked the nets, and Foster for the Birmingham goalkeeper, as I'm going past him, he's put his thumbs up to me and he's gone, "All right, Lino, keep it going." And I'm going, "This is not right. I need you to have a go at me." You know, because not one of the players from Birmingham, even when I've come out, because normally if you get something this close...
Well, that's nice to know that players at that level do have self-discipline.
I was just about to say, there's a really good sign of good discipline amongst the Birmingham City players then, isn't there, obviously?
Yeah, and not one point, and even the back four, because you're expecting to get it from the back four, see, because the vibes would have went round, you're thinking... And they've come out, and not one of them, normally a defender will look across and go, "Oh, come on, Lino, why come you got that?" You know, and they'd have it in for you.
What about the general feeling? You're coming towards the end of the game now. You know, let me say to you, as an Arsenal fan myself, and it's known by a lot of people that I follow the Arsenal results, when the winning goal went in, we all wished he'd been sent off, because we think he would have... for the decision in the first 2 minutes, because the feeling is they would have played better with 10 men.
Yeah, well, I owe him my career, that goalkeeper. I love him. You know what I mean? I think he's fantastic, and it's the only time in my career that I felt like running on the pitch, doing three somersaults. I had to chuck my Birmingham bobble hat off and my Birmingham scarf. I had to get rid of that quickly.
Brilliant.
But I've got to say, from the Arsenal perspective, Ben Foster certainly deserved man of the match.
Outstanding.
And the Birmingham team, from the touchline, from where I was watching in the stands, they deserved it on the day. They applied themselves. The fans were a credit to the club. And it was a good cup final. Even though Arsenal did lose, it was a good cup final.
Yeah, it was a good cup. And that's what was said after the game. When Birmingham scored a goal, they've got their second goal. And I've looked up to the skies and I went, there is a God. I said, there is a God. And then Mike Dean says across the mic, what are we thinking, lads? We'll go 4 minutes. And I'm thinking, well, let's leave it in nothing. And no one was having that one. So we're thinking, all right, we'll go 4 minutes. So those 4 minutes lasted about an hour.
I was just about to say that would have been the longest 4 minutes of your entire life. But,
I didn't sleep. That's my worst night ever.
You didn't sleep on a Sunday night?
I did not sleep at all. I felt absolutely... But that's because... And this is what I'm saying, like, there was no assessor there, so I wasn't worried about a mark. It was about personal pride and about letting people down.
It's not about marks, Ganny, is it?
No, it's not. And that's what it's all about. It's about getting that decision right, because that's what we're there for. We're there to make a decision, an honest one, and we don't like making mistakes.
Contact us now. refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. You can email the show, and don't forget you can listen to us on iTunes. Just search for Referees World. So, still to come, we'll have a match incident from Ron Gamfield. We've got the Plum appointments to announce. We've also got some dates for the diary as well. But first, let's talk credible decisions. Rich.
Yeah, before we go into my credible decision making, we're now heard in 15 countries.
Oh, yes, we've got to mention that. And these are the countries. Are you ready for
this? List them for me, Dan.
Here we go, then. The countries are, obviously, here in the UK, United States, Brazil, Germany, Russia, Portugal, Jordan, Poland, New Zealand, the United Arab Emirates, Jamaica, Ireland, Canada, Norway and India. And these are statistics from Google.
I'm interested in particular in the colleague in India who may have been listening to the podcast. Is it one of the colleagues that I met last year when I was out there on FA business with a bit of tutoring? Mm. If that referee is one that somebody that I know or knows me, perhaps you'd like to make contact and let us know what you think of the podcast.
Absolutely. Referees World Podcast@gmail.com. Right, that's the email address. Let's move on then. So, credible decisions. Any in particular you're thinking about here?
Yeah, I'm thinking of two in particular here. Refereeing decisions. One involves an Arsenal player. And let's talk about the Arsenal-Barcelona game.
Yep.
And the second caution for Robin van Persie. Forget the fact that I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm looking at this totally, honestly, totally as a football refereeing matter.
Okay.
Okay. This is a technical caution. It's a second caution for that player. Was it a credible decision?
For me, that absolutely not.
Okay. Now, the pressure that referee is under at that level, Champions League, is immense. There's no question about that. But look at the credibility of it. Is that something that we would expect our referees to be doing at grassroots level? But we got to gauge it right according to where we're refereeing. And let me say, guys, those of you listening now, the Robin van Persie technical caution is applicable at the level it was delivered. It is not really expected at grassroots level. We don't expect you to be doing that unless it's blatant. It has to be blatant to have credibility.
Okay, the next decision that you're going to refer to?
I'm just going to refer to the Everton versus Birmingham incident involving Pete Walton, the referee.
A severe lack of cards, you mean?
This is the lack of cards. This is about personal preparation.
Yeah.
And Darren, you've had the same situation as regards prepare, practice.
Yeah.
You've got your cards in your pockets.
Yeah.
Have you been practicing before you go out into the field of play?
I hadn't been, no.
Okay. So what do you think Pete Walton has done? Now, Pete's been refereeing for a long, long time.
Mm.
Good referee. He forgets to take his cards out on the Everton versus Birmingham game. Now, what happens? He has reason to caution a player. Now, he seemed to go through the motion of caution, or the procedure of cautioning a player, and that caution still stands. Now, any of our colleagues, if it happens to you, you go out there, you still caution the player, even though you haven't got your yellow card or red card, you still carry out the sanction.
Could he have not gone to one of his assistants at some point on the game, having realised he hadn't got them, and just literally, when the ball was out of play, have you got your cards on you? Because by rights, the assistant should carry their cards out with them anyway, just in case there is a change.
Would it have been credible? How would that word come back quickly, isn't it?
No.
Walk across to your linesman or your assistant referee, ask for the cards. I did it. I did it at Welton Rovers versus Brislington in the Western League. Lawrence Oliver, if you're listening to this, Bobby Abrahams is your son-in-law. You can tell him about the incident whereby I got drenched in the first half, got changed into a second kit for the second half in the change rooms, and came out without my cards, and I had a red card situation.
Ouch.
So I backed off, back towards Lawrence, said, Lawrence, I've forgotten my cards, let me have your cards. And he discreetly stuck the red card in my pocket.
Brilliant,
and I went back to the player, pulled the card out, and off we go.
Excellent.
But let me just wrap this one up here. Still go through the sanction, as you would normally, and Pete Walton on this occasion forgot his card, but still motioned as though he had a yellow card.
Yeah.
And, you know, it still carries the right weighting.
So there's your tip for the month. Don't forget to take your cards out, because it doesn't do you any justice. Right, we've got some dates to the diary on the way in just a second. We've also got Ron Ganfield's match incident to share with us. First, the plum appointments. These are what Richard were talking about at the beginning of the show. The big juicy ones as we come towards the back end of the season, I suppose.
Yeah, the plum appointments are now about to arrive on a lot of doorsteps via email or through the post. And there's some that have just arrived in the last few weeks. The games have been played in many cases, but I still think we should give an announcement about them, because they are plum appointments. And if I start with the ones I've got here, the FA Vars 6-round proper, Saturday, March the 5th. It was between Paul Town and Tor Point. Referee was Kev Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Kev.
Mm-hmm. Well
or Jono, as we commonly know him. Jono was referee for that game. His assistant referee was Rick Hume from Radstock. So well done, the boys, on getting that one. FA Cup, 5th round proper, Saturday the 19th of February, West Ham versus Burnley. Assistant referee was Mike Cairns, our own Mike Cairns.
What a Mike.
Yeah, he's adopted, but, you know, he's still one of our lads. So well done, Michael. And the last set of FA plum appointments I've got is, oh, actually it was Tor Point versus Billingham Sinfonia. That's a mouthful. 5th round proper, FA Vars, Saturday the 12th. Ronnie Ganfield was in the middle. Well done, Ronnie.
Well done, Ron.
Another plum appointment. Another plum appointment, not to forget. Paul Town versus Spennymoor Town in the FA Vars, 5th round proper. Andy Gibbons. Well done, Gibbo.
Oh, Gibbo.
Well done. And the other thing I want just to finish on plum appointments is the County Cup finals have been announced. And those match officials that have been appointed to County Cup finals will know that they've got a cup final. But congratulations to all those guys that have got plum appointments.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
So some dates for the diary then, Rich.
Yeah, according to when you hear this, it's either next Monday or last Monday. The cup final seminar for the County Cup final match officials is the 21st of March.
Okay.
That's at Glastonbury Town Football Club, or was at Glastonbury Town Football Club.
Yeah.
The other date for the diary is the Somerset FA Referees Promotions meeting is going to be held on the 30th of March.
Mm-hmm.
So very soon after that, if you're up for promotion this season, you will find out the decision of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got your promotion.
Yeah.
The last date I want to offer to everyone is announcement by the County FA about a referees course. It's female targeted and it's going to be held at the County FA offices at Glastonbury on Saturday the 16th of April and runs through to Wednesday the 27th with 4 specific dates. Saturday the 16th, Wednesday the 20th, Saturday the 23rd and Wednesday the 27th.
And if anybody wants to get involved, how would they get in touch?
The best person to touch? The best...
Brilliant.
The best person to contact is Referee Development Officer Keith Buller.
No, I think Keith would have preferred it the first time around.
Contact Referee Development Officer Keith Buller.
And I'm sure he'll let you touch him.
Referees World. Match incidents.
So this month's match incident, we've already spoken to him. It's our special guest, Ron Ganfield. Ron.
Right, I was refereeing a game. And I was marking out a couple of times I marked out the wall, and the crowd were giving it one, They didn't think I was taking it far enough, so they were counting it with me. So I had enough of this. So what I done is I started marking out this next wall, and they were counting me. So I was going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got to 8 and I stopped, and they carried on going 9, 10. So I looked around at them and I gave them all a little wave, and they didn't like it. They went like that. I went, got you. I got you then. They didn't do it again after that.
Oh,
and that's what I'd done. But it was at the time, it was hilarious. But it's something that I could do, but you've got to be careful. I don't advise anyone else to try that one.
Only Ron Ganfield can get away with that.
Yeah, don't do it.
I know of one very similar to that kind of thing. Roger Milford told me about this one once upon a time. He was doing a game at Canesham. Challenge took place right in front of the little stadium bit. And he stops, blows the whistle, obviously, and then goes to go to his pocket as if to pull out a card. Everybody starts booing at him, and he gets that handkerchief and starts wiping his brow.
Brilliant, isn't it?
And then just smiles and wanders off.
Yeah, it works. It works, doesn't it? It's funny. Stuff like that, little things that stick with you, don't they?
Are you going to tell us which game that was?
It was at Dorchester, so I'm not very well liked there, mate. I should admit that to Craig. Well, I'm not very well liked there anywhere. Any ground, to be honest. Brilliant.
Contact us now. Referees World Podcast at gmail.com.
And that's just about it for another Referees World Podcast. Hope you've enjoyed the show this time around with Ron telling us about his experiences on the Cup Final. Hopefully you've gained from the tips that Rich has given you as well. And good luck to you if you're one of those that's nominated for promotion, or indeed have got yourself a plum appointment as well.
One thing I'll just finish on. If you're looking for promotion in the next refereeing season, get your applications in now to the Referee Development Officer, Keith Buller.
The download is complete.